I do get a lot of pitches from business leaders, but when somebody who comes with a motto and fuck average, be legendary crosses my path, yep, I gotta talk to him. Fred Carey joins me. He's the CEO of Idea Pros. This is a bonus episode of The Business of Tech. As we approach March 31st, it's time to mark your calendar for World Backup Day. Since 2011, this global event has served as an annual reminder for customers to prioritize data protection. As an MSP, it also presents a golden opportunity for you to engage your customers in meaningful discussions about their coverage. With Skykick, you can confidently seize this moment to boost revenue and foster trust through comprehensive backup and recovery. They're hosting a webinar with a global panel of partners on March 26th, all about World Backup Day and how to maximize the MSP opportunity. It's worth checking out. Visit skykick.com/MSP radio to download a free 3-step guide and sign up for the webinar. Fred, thanks for joining me.
Well, I am really happy to be here. Looking forward to this.
Now, I got to start with a headline because anybody who's got a cool motto like fuck average, be legendary, like that feels like a great place to start. Like, talk to me kind of how that came about and how you apply that philosophy.
And by the way, it's a registered trademark. The trademark office thought me worthy of having that, probably because I swear so much.
Well done.
It came about to really try to find an in-your-face way of telling people what it takes to make it. We have so many of us want to have extraordinary lives. You know, we want to have the best of everything, be able to travel when we want, work as little as we want, have the best house, the best car, the best wife or husband, and flawless kids, and a great dog that doesn't bark at people. But the reality is, to have that extraordinary type life, you got to do extraordinary things. And most of us go through every single day not doing anything that's out of the ordinary. We live in what I call a quicksand of our comfort zones, which is anything but, and we need to step outside of that. And so my challenge to people with that statement, if you want to be legendary, find one extraordinary thing to do every day. It could be like a little extraordinary thing. Like, I've always wanted to be somebody in tech, but I don't have any training whatsoever. Buy a tech book, read the first paragraph, you know, do something to move your life along so you can have that extraordinary life. And so that's the birth of that phrase came from that. You know, you're gonna do average things every day, you're gonna have an average life.
Right, and you've clearly done a bunch of things. You've founded more than 10 companies. So I would feel like there's kind of a pivotal moment in your journey that kind of shaped your approach. What would you latch on to and say, yeah, that's the moment? And what do you bring out of it?
Failure repeatedly. Try to do something that had never been done before and not getting it right the first time. Like Elon Musk, 3 SpaceX failures meant betting the farm still on the fourth one. We would have never heard of Elon had the fourth one failed, and just continuing to go for it. You know, it was the realization that pain is part of the process.
So Fred, you know, I think a lot about failure, and I really appreciate you focusing there, because in a way, like, the best thing that could happen is somebody be successful, right? That's the best. And the second best thing would be failing fast, because you can move on. But the worst is when you fail slowly and you may not even know it's happening to you. How do you know failure to make sure you know it's happening and you get a job?
Yeah. Recognizing failure begins with recognizing your own flaws and understanding that just because you believe something, the market may not agree with you. The people that have these long, slow burn failures that end their careers are people that can't accept the fact that they were wrong in the way they decided to go for something. And so the fast failure happens when you're flexible enough, when you can pivot fast enough to follow that flow of the market river, if you will, wherever it leads you. Failing to do that means that long, slow burn failure that leads to eventual death.
In prepping to talk to you, because I'm really fascinated to understand, you know, your philosophy on business, one of the things you really emphasize is the importance of cash flow over profits. And I find that kind of striking because it's an interesting approach. I appreciate the idea of managing cash flow. Obviously, you can take that to a real extreme. We both know that a cash flow business without profit isn't the goal. You know, because you can have great cash flow, but no profit. Walk me through your thinking and how you balance it and where your emphasis is for entrepreneurs.
Yeah, generally, especially as entrepreneurs with smaller businesses and $1-3 million businesses, we're looking at the paper that's showing us all the contracts and deals that we're getting in, and we're thinking that this is amazing, we're doing great. But a lot of times the cash from those businesses doesn't come in when the contract does. And so when we're looking at, on paper today, on my P&L, I'm doing really well. But in my bank account, I have $78. The reality is the very first thing I tell any CFO that I bring on board to work for me is don't let me run out of money. And that's what you get. When you start focusing on your cash flow, then you can utilize your skills in the finance part of things to make sure that business keeps growing robustly. The problem is even worse when you have a really well-performing business. But let's suppose your technology company and your month after month, you're doubling. And so now you're looking at this $10,000 invoice statement and you're going hooray for it, but you're using last month's cash paid for this month's expenses. And if you got twice as much business in the following month, that cash is not going to pay for the expenses that you're going to have as you're growing to that level. So always be mindful of the cash you have in the bank, the cash that's coming in, despite what your P&L says. You can have a great P&L and run out of money and be out of business.
Interestingly, a lot of the managed services world leans very heavily into monthly recurring revenues. Theory, yeah, that would be a really good way. What are some of the ways that you emphasize with entrepreneurs that they should be tactically managing cash flow?
Get somebody involved sooner rather than later that understands it. That's what I say. You know, there, right now, you can find a fractional almost anything, and you're able to do that historically. But now there's fractional CFO services. They're pretty sophisticated accounting services that are affordable and help you manage that. And if you haven't had any experience in that, you can learn about it. But in the meantime, bring in a professional to help you manage that cash flow. And so you understand a little bit more about it. Took me 10 years to figure out debits and credits, why they seemed opposite to me and what they really were. And so it's a learning curve. In the meantime, get somebody fractional to help you.
You're slightly ahead of me to really get it then. I still feel like I'm constantly learning profit and loss statement.
Yeah.
You're a CEO of Idea Pros. You're working a lot with companies, and the approach is not just consulting, but you're trying to engage in development strategy and the launch process of those startups. What are you looking for in the most successful organizations as you to measure that these are the ones that are going to do really well or are doing really
well? Yeah. And with me, historically, we've taken people at the idea stage. So most of the time, there aren't any organizations. There's somebody with a really good idea 90% of the time, which we change after we get involved. But we really come in as a co-founder. You're right at the very beginning. You have a really good idea. You want to execute on it. You're about to spend $500,000 or more trying to build a company around it. And we step in as your co-founder. We take a minority interest. We cover everything on the build that needs to take place. We train you as an entrepreneur. So what I really look for is a pretty good idea with a really great entrepreneurial spirit. Somebody that can pivot when things aren't working out right, somebody that will learn, somebody that never gives up, somebody that has really a lot of determination, and somebody who can embrace failure on the journey towards success.
Are there any sort of consistent traits about those entrepreneurs that you've seen? Like, are there there are things that you always find there, or there are guarantee, like almost nothing's a guarantee, but like if those things are there, we are much higher rate of success.
Yeah. The biggest thing, surprisingly, is timing. And there's been a study done at Harvard about two dozen companies that were really well capitalized, like $100 million, $200 million, $300 million from venture capital, really great management teams, really great product ideas, lots of money. And they looked at the ones that failed and they looked at the ones that succeeded. And in large part, the overriding factor was coming in at the right time for something. Shockingly to me, I didn't even consider that as a real possibility, although I had that happen to me once. So I look for, number one, is this a good idea at the right time? And then number two, those characteristics of that entrepreneur are such that, number one, they have to hate where they are. Like most of our entrepreneurs, they're not the 20-something that just got out of grad school. There are people from 30 to 55 years old that they're in corporate America. They're doing really well in their jobs. We've had some people coming in that are making $750,000 in corporate America a year, and they hate where they are. So the first thing I look for is hate. Like I am not satisfied. I'm successful financially and I'm working up the corporate ladder, but it's not where I want to be. So I look for that pain, that hate, that real desire to change my life. Because if you have somebody who wants to change their life, you're going to work extra hard and make it happen. If you have somebody who wants a side hustle and sees where it goes, they're not going to put in the sweat equity it needs to take to go ahead and be successful. And the last thing I look for is somebody that's consistent with the core value system of our own organization. I mean, these people are literally in bed with us. And if you have somebody that is way different in their approach towards business and to approach to humanity and empathy and how to treat their clients or customers, that they don't sit well and they're going to disrupt our own internal organization. So those are the key factors for us.
Now, when we were talking before we went live, you know, you started and said, oh, I'm not a technologist. And actually, the reason I wanted to talk to you was because of the entrepreneur angle. And while you're familiar with the IT services space, that's not, technology is not your thing, which is exactly right. Why I wanted to talk to you, because I actually love bringing in people that have deep expertise that is adjacent to our space, not necessarily deep into it. And I want to put out a premise that we sell ourselves a lot in technology. And I'd like to get your reaction to it. We constantly keep telling ourselves that what we're doing is incredibly valuable now because every company is a technology. What's your reaction to that statement?
None of those companies knows they're a technology company. So you can't sell stuff. You can't sell your cool products and great expertise. You need to find out what the pain points are of your customers, of your clients. You need to be selling pain and you need to be selling solutions that address the issues that they have. When you go out and buy a brand new car, you don't know how the pistons work or in many cases, even how many cylinders there are in the vehicle. Certainly, you don't know how the transmission gets all set up and everything. That's all the technology, and which is none of the reasons people buy a car. Same thing when you as a technology company go address people that have needs for your stuff, find their pain, get the emotional connection with what they are, those pain points are, and then solve the pain points. People just want to hear, I'm going to improve this by 25%. I'm going to eliminate your potential for fraud by 99%. Get the things that they're concerned about instead of saying, oh, the technology, so let's go sell technology. No, sell pain, sell solutions, sell the things that the CEOs of those companies stay up worrying about at night. Then later on, after you got the ticket, then you can talk about the technology with their own technology special.
So we'll take a quick moment to look to the future. You're working across a lot of different industries. And I'm going to ask this saying specifically broadly, what trends that are coming out do you think are going to impact the entrepreneurial world over the next couple of years?
AI. AI is already changing the way we do everything. Everybody's touting, I'm using AI in my business. But AI 5 years from now could be scary as hell. We don't know where it's going. We don't know about what type of jobs it's displacing. I do know already in my own company, there are very sophisticated reports that we do that used to take 4 months And with AI tools that we've built, we can do them in half an hour. I mean, we still need to have human resources review them and understand. It's like an x-ray and a radiologist, right? You kind of need the radiologist anyway, but you may not need the x-ray technician. It's the same thing with AI. The people who are generating reports for me now may not be needed, at least not as many of them, but we do need that senior folks to review them. And I think that the big game changer across all industries is AI. Where it's going to lay, where it's going to end up, we don't know. But certainly everybody needs to be looking at that every day and see how it can make their organization better and see how the failure to use it can make your competitors swallow you up before you even realize it.
That's why I think that this is an interesting space to look into, because matching the expertise to the entrepreneurs is the trick. Fred Carey is an entrepreneur and business thought leader with over 3 decades of experience in creating transformative strategies that have generated billions in corporate value. He is the CEO of Idea Pros. Fred, if people are interested in finding out more, where can they get in touch?
Well, people can get a hold of me in a couple of different ways. You can just go to ideapros.com, become a free member. We have about 100,000 members on there, entrepreneurs from all walks of life that we get free advice to every week. Also on Instagram at official Fred Carey, C-A-R-Y. I have about 500,000 followers on there, give you advice every single day for free. And if you have something really pressing, this is the part that my executive assistant hates, something that you feel is really important and you want help with, fred@ideapros.com. Reach out to me and I'll answer your email and see if I can help you in any way.
This has been fantastic. Thanks, Fred.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Today's episode is supported by Huntress. You want to focus on your clients and are always looking for ways to get more time. Use Huntress's fully managed cybersecurity platform to fight off cyber threats. Huntress is more than cybersecurity software for endpoints and identities. It's a 24/7 security operations center. It's security awareness training, community engagement, and dedicated partner support with an average CSAT score of 99.3%. Technology can only get you so far. Human expertise is what's needed to truly elevate and protect small businesses, and you get that with Huntress. Secure your clients and help them thrive with the number one rated EDR for SMBs on G2. Visit huntress.com/MSP radio to find out more. The Business of Tech is written by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. This episode was edited and produced by Picture This Video. If you like the content, please make sure to hit that like button and follow and subscribe. It's the free and easy way to support the show and help us grow. You can also check out our Patreon, where you can join the Business of Tech community at patreon.com/MSP radio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. Finally, if you're interested in advertising on the show, visit MSPradio.com/engage. Thanks for listening today, and I will talk to you again on the next episode of The Business of Tech.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.